Hermione Norris, it's lovely to see you for 20
Thank
questions.
you.
Now, I have to say from the beginning that I really like you. So,
Well, the only reason I'm doing this, I was thinking this morning, the only reason I'm doing this is because I like you. I hate talking about myself, but you always manage to make me do it.
because I'm interested in your career and your achievements, I'm not interested in the sort of glitz and glamour that might go hand in hand with what you do as a top actor. Although, actually, you're not interested in that either, are you? That's my first question.
No, never have been. It's never done it for me, I'm afraid. I really do appreciate that everyone does different things for different reasons. And I've really learned that. I used to believe in my youth that, we were all in it together as actors, and there was one, that the motive and your purpose and your was from the same place. But it's really, obviously, really, really not. The glitz and the glamour has been, I don't enjoy, I don't, it's not, I don't even, I don't like it. It's not even that I don't enjoy it. I would go as far as I don't know. I love the work in its purest form. That's what I love.
When you see yourself, when you look at yourself, when you feel a sense of identity, is it about who you are or what you are or what you've done? I mean, I imagine that you do not define yourself by having been a star of Cold Feet or Spooks or Kingdom or having a cameo as a famous actor in Silent Witness recently or whatever it is. I don't want to answer the question for you, but I suspect your answer might be that you are more interested in who you are rather than what you do.
It's interesting you should ask that because, identity as an actor is really weird because I have never, I don't really think of myself as an actor. I have sort of being who I am and on my own personal journey through life, being the mother to my children is completely separate from it, is not my identity. And yet, when I go out, that's how everybody else sees me as a character from Cold Feet or a character from Spooks or as an actor. That is clearly how I what I am identified as. It's been a massive journey in my life, particularly over COVID, actually. Identity, when everything was removed, living a life, I suppose I've been acting for more than 30 years and just living a life ready to turn, go anywhere on a phone call. Just downing tools, just taking a step back, and the question of identity, who am I, what matters, what is my purpose, really came to the fore for me actually in that time. But it's not, I've never, no, it is true to say that I've never been into the glamour or into the parading, either as a viewer of the red carpet or as somebody on it. I find each position slightly troubling.
So what is it for you, acting? What is it about for you? Do you see yourself as a storyteller, an interpreter, an entertainer?
I think storytelling, whether it's a book or whether it's something we watch on television, is how we make sense of ourselves in our lives, how we make sense of who we are, how we are, the choices we make in our own lives. The storytelling is been since we were sitting around fires, hasn't it? It's an enormous thing. It's a really, really important thing. It's not just an entertainment or something we do. It's absolutely key, I think, to our survival, our moral code, our moral compass, who we believe ourselves to be, how we're witnessed to be, to exist is to be witnessed somehow. We don't live in isolation. And I just think storytelling, identification between people is the most crucial and powerful thing we have, really, each other.
How different is it playing different roles? And by that I mean, do you get different things from playing very, very contrasting characters?
I think it's. I always love playing bad people. It's more. There's a liberation. There's a liberation in not in, in playing something other than yourself. There is wearing a mask of any kind, liberating oneself from oneself and being seeing some being playing a character who is driven by completely different motives and making sense to that within yourself is just quite an exciting thing. Although having said that, honestly, Matt, as an actor, really, I think quite early on, you are boxed in, or I felt boxed in. I can't speak for every other actor, but you get, I often play very ladylike people, or smartly dressed people. Yeah, it's not, as a young actor, you want to, or as an actor, you want to play lots of really, really different things, and it's all quite. I find the whole business quite limiting with what is on offer in reality. I can only be 5'7" with yellow hair, and look, I can't completely morph into something else, and that's quite frustrating, I suppose, because I suppose it's about liberation of self on some level, if that makes any sense.
Being Roz, just for example, which struck me so much, that part, because I loved that series. And I don't know, it was just a time in my life where it, on some level, resonated with me. And your character as a woman who was able to do the business and hold the bad guys to account physically and mentally, was that somehow exciting or exhilarating or
Yeah,
liberating?
it
I mean,
really was. She was a fantastic character, and she was a fantastic character, and it was good writing, and it was a time in London that felt, it was before Brexit and before things got really depressing. It was a very sort of exciting. It was a great part, great to play, as you say, a woman who was capable of handling herself and others in the way that she did. It's quite rare to get that as a woman. Often is your currency is how attractive you are to the male character. Roz was a person within her own right. She wasn't defined by anyone else other than herself. So yeah, so she was a good one. Yeah.
how do you hold on to a character when you're on set? Because I can imagine the intensity or the way you work is different on stage than it is when you're doing television.
Yeah, I played characters for sort of in excess of sort of 5 years in a at a time. I love that. I love the absorption of a long running series and the discipline of it and the liberation of playing the same character and watching, being on that journey with them for a long period of time, and then the storyline coming in and your character just adapting and responding and to whatever is presented with it, to her on the page. Yeah, I've loved that. I love long running series, playing characters in the long running series. Yeah.
Have characters, good or maybe even bad, I suspect not bad, but have elements of the people that you've played in any way influenced you, or has any of the art bled into real life?
I certainly think, yes, I do actually. I do. Often at the end of a series, I'll buy, if I like the clothes, I'll buy them, and then I'll be walking down the street and think, oh God, it's really actually no, that's actually very uncomfortable. I have to get rid. I've bought so much, and I get rid of it because it feels like them, not like me. But I wouldn't choose to wear that, or I wouldn't choose to buy that. I've made that mistake. But for example, when I was cast as Roz Myers in Spooks, and I just had Wilf, or Wilf was 2.5 or something when I did the first series of Spooks, 2.5, 3 maybe. And I was still, having a baby cracks you open, you feel quite vulnerable, fragile, yeah. But it's all about sort of that gaze to your child to protect them and all the rest of it. And playing Roz certainly made me get my confidence back, having to drive behind the wheel of a car confidently and just not take any stick from people and stand up in front of roomfuls of men in grey suits and be unfaltering certainly helped me gather after a bit of postnatal depression and sort of fragility after childbirth. Yeah.
What's it like being on stage?
Completely different experience. It's a different job, stage and film and TV. It's like a totally different discipline, because of the relationship with the audience, I think, that it's immediate. It's completely in the moment. When it works, there's nothing like theatre. When you're in a play, playing a part with a company that works, there's nothing like it. It's completely in the moment. You're in the arc of the story from beginning to middle to end. You arrive on, the work, it's exciting. It's your craft in its rawest form. It's an extraordinary thing. Quite a powerful experience. When you're in a play that you don't really like and you're not very good in it, and you have to go on stage every night after night for months on end, it's a living hell.
I'm not going to ask you what you're referring to,
Oh,
but
most actors would say the same, but they'd just probably, yeah.
what I'm curious about is what it's like meeting an actor for the first time or an actress who you haven't worked with before, and you're either on stage or on set with them, and that uncertainty or that not knowing or an excitement if they've got a great reputation. Describe that experience, the first time you
Well, that
start.
sums up the whole experience of being an actor, really, because that's where the magic is. Because it's not about you as an individual, as an actor, or another person as an actor. It's what happens between you. So you can both know your lines. You can both be at home having learnt your lines. You may have envisaged what the set's like, what the scene is. The director's done the same, and everybody comes to, everyone walks on set, says hello. But then, what actually happens when you say action, and what each individual brings to the moment in a scene is a completely unknown thing, and that's where the magic happens, I think. So the less I've always felt I can learn my lines, but the less idea or vision I have about how it will look, what the set will be like, how I imagine a scene, it's best to stay away from that because it will always surprise you. What happens in that moment?
Do audiences surprise you? Does the liveness of theatre surprise you each night?
Usually, if you're in the rhythm of a play, you get to know, and as a cast, you'll get to know the rhythm of a play, where the laughter will come, where the tension will come, and then you kind of can measure where you're at with how big a response is or how smaller is what the audience is like. It's a sort of a yes. So live experience, living experience.
On the weekend, I was on stage with Anthony Horowitz, the crime writer, who's actually appeared on this podcast. And he said something along the lines of, and he's written something like 60 books, and he said something along the lines of that he hopes he gets better with each novel. That's his aspiration anyway, to get better as a writer. Do you feel that you get better with each play or with each television or film performance, or at least is that your aspiration? Are you aware of wanting to become a better actor, even if you're doing a part that is very, very different from your last?
For me, it's like I know what kind of acting I enjoy watching, and I think the more embodied somebody can be, the less affected, the more truthful, the more grounded, the more in themselves they are. That is what I love to watch, a really self-assured, honest, raw performance that is not affected or there's a lack of vanity. Truthfulness, that's what I like. But that's the interesting thing as an actress or an actor, I shouldn't say actress, an actor, female. It doesn't That's what is interesting about being an actor. It's like you can't you as you age, obviously, you can't you're so like I wouldn't play Ros Myers now. I would find it quite difficult to run around the streets of London in high-heeled shoes and do that 6 days a week and look like I did. I'm older now. It's and doors close, doors really close behind you as an actress in a way that they don't necessarily as for actors. So there's that. You can certainly hone your craft, but you're honing it for something completely different because you can never perfect a part of yourself that's gone, if you know what I mean.
Do you learn from or pick up things from other actors?
Always, yeah, always.
Do you find yourself doing that as you're, say, watching a play or watching a TV
No, I'm
show?
just very fascinated. I'm fascinated about I people fascinate me, I think. Just people fascinate me. I love people. I love watching people just how people respond. It's more really though how people respond to pressure, how people respond to difficult, nuanced moments, how people, the choices actors make. I love watching people work.
So there's all sorts of words that we can think of to describe a moment or an experience of acting, or a method of acting. Intensity, rawness is a word that you've used, pressure. Do you feel that you're at your best when you're relaxed? Is there such thing? So even if you're playing a deeply intense part, can you still yourself, as Hermione Norris, be in a relaxed state that helps you or not?
I definitely think the more relaxed you are, the more able to respond you are, the better you are as an actor. The more comfortable. Because if you're even if you're in a really, really there's a you know even if you're in a really heightened state emotionally in a scene, there is a need to be relaxed to get into that space. You can't be worried about what's going on around you. So yeah, you the more relaxed definitely is better.
Are things getting better for women? I mean, you say that doors close or can close in ways perhaps they don't for men or for some men. Do you think things are getting better?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Are things getting better for women, really? There's so much conversation about it. I still think, it is getting better. I do think it's getting better, but it's still nowhere near I would like to see it be. Nowhere, not even close. You get to it is just the truth. It's just a statement of fact that you get to a certain age as a woman. I'm 57. You no longer see yourself on in magazines. And if there are any women represented in magazines, suddenly they're wearing shocking pink or lime green, dressed in clothes that I never see women who I know my age dressed as. On t on in television and film, you see constantly scenes filled with men in grey suits, if it's a political drama, or well, how society is reflected back to you. We are not, women my age are not represented on screen as I would like to see them represented now.
And why do you think that is?
Because I think we live in a man, the men we're ruled by the patriarchy. We are it's sort of just culturally, it is, it's a re very real thing. It's not a look at who is running our governments. We've got 80-year-old men, men everywhere. I don't know if that's, but it's just the truth. When women, and I think that also, I just think we're very different, men and women. Our life, and what is expected from us as women, a woman's journey through life is very, very different from a man's. In the nature of being a mother, caring, nurturing your young. In COVID, it was really became, in the pandemic, it became very, very clear about the domestic responsibilities within the home. When our parents get older, often it's the woman who is looking after the young and the old. There's so much to juggle. And then, of course, women are on a different biological cycle as well. And you get to menopause and you completely change into something else. And I think possibly women are on a different journey in, because there is a degree of cut and thrust in the world, isn't there? That's something that women probably just can't be bothered with, really. Their life and their energy goes elsewhere at a later point in life. I don't know. Sorry, I've really gone on.
Your backdrop, Hermione, is of books, lots of books. Do you read a lot?
I do, not probably not as much as you do. I'm not, but I like to read.
Much more than me. Definitely.
No.
I'm a bad reader, but I read a lot when I was a boy because my mum really encouraged that in me. And I think that was really, really important as a young person. When you watch something or go to something, are there a whole variety of things that you might want to happen depending on your mood, depending on why you've gone to see what you've gone to see, or why you've switched on what you're switching on? I mean, do you want to be made sad? Do you want to be made happy? Do you want to be made to laugh? Do you want to be scared? if you want to be deeply moved in one direction or another. I mean, where do you go to get your energy from the arts? Is it from acting? Is it watching other people act? Or is it more from books or fine
I love
art?
books, to be honest. At this chapter in my life, I love a good story. I love being lost in a brilliant story. Yeah, I would say.
What happens next? Is there a trajectory to your career? I mean, I said I asked this as someone who has a very stimulating but also uncertain professional life. And I remember a famous director saying to me when I suggested to him that I might try and become an actor, he said, "Don't, you wouldn't be able to deal with the constant rejection." But, you know, even for someone as successful as yourself, is there uncertainty? Is there Are there sort of moments when you feel it's not going as you'd want it to go to? How do you manage that non-linear element to what you do?
But it's coming back to that question of identity, really. I don't identify as an actor, if you know what I mean. I don't. I who I am and how I am and the relationship I have to my self, my children, my loved ones, the people in my life is where it's at for me. It is true, honestly, as an actor, it is, it's good when it's good, and it is a life of you only see when somebody's got the part. You don't see when they haven't. It is a life of rejection and bumps, and you never uncertainty. But you don't go to the butcher's to buy a loaf of bread. I knew that when I started. That is what it is. It's uncertain. It can be quite cruel. So you have to, in one hand, hold a desire to want to work, and another, just completely let go of it. And some days I do that better than others, obviously.
You went to a ballet school for a while, didn't you? And you went to Lambda to study acting, and you did lots of non-acting jobs as you were trying to establish yourself as an actress, as an actor. Did your beginnings, your roots, have they been helpful in shaping your career, but also in helping you to appreciate what you achieve?
Honestly, I think I've thought about that recently as well. The people who I had who taught me when I was a young person, I had a man called Andrew Neil, who was at RADA, who came and taught at the ballet school that I was at when I was 15, and a man called Colin Cook at Lambda, who really, both those men really mentored me, and I think instilled in me an attitude to the whole process of acting. They were beautiful, beautiful men, and their way of being, really, as human beings, and the way they taught is what I think I hold on to in who I am and my approach to my work in my life.
Final question. I know that you've lived in London, you've also lived in the countryside. At times, you've lived in both. Where do you feel most Hermione?
In London, I think, honestly, you could sprinkle my ashes in the gutter of Soho and I'd be a happy woman.
Hermione Norris, thank you so much for answering my 20 questions. What a way to end!
My pleasure. It's lovely to see you, Matt. Really good to see you.